Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 1st of June, recording at 5:12 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, what an interesting time. Well, actually, it's always interesting, isn't it? But even more so when a few days go by before I've had a commentary and much to discuss. Now, first, one would have to be Rip Van Winkle not to know that the price of crude oil has been very much in the news lately. And I've even put forward the idea that traders, in the short term at any rate, over the last couple of weeks, let's say, are trading off an oil indicator. In other words, when it's above $40 a barrel, they sell. When it's below 40, they buy. And as I speak, crude oil is up $1.92 at 41.80. That's the spot price, NYME, at 41.80. And, excuse me, not that surprisingly, we're seeing stock markets turn down in here today. The importance of oil cannot be underestimated. But if it were just to hover at this range for a while, then it would become less important in terms of people's analysis. But needless to say, the recent atrocities in Saudi Arabia and elsewhere have just reminded people once again of the growing threat of terrorism and the fact that no oil installation has been targeted yet to our knowledge, but that it would only take one successful attack on an oil installation, successful in terms of halting production, to cause oil to rocket higher. And I suspect there's a bit of shortcovering in the market here today. Well, how am I actually playing it? You might have seen on the website, if you've had a chance to look, that I actually doubled up on my natural gas position. And I didn't get that great a price on it when I bought it around midday. But the chart action, having been indifferent over the last few days, remember oil had sort of lost upward momentum and had sagged down, broken a couple of minor support levels late last week, but the terror attacks changed everything, and today's action qualifies as another upward dynamic. Now, so thus the natural gas. I could play the crude or the gasoline, but I regard those as being more political, and therefore have concentrated in recent weeks on the natural gas contracts, which I also think are cheaper relative to oil. Now, I also shorted the NASDAQ future in here today. You know, I'd been mostly on the sidelines, having come out of my short positions. Reasonably good levels, although I see that some of these indices are dropping back down towards those levels. I wish that I had shorted the DAX index this morning. I was watching it and it was only down a tiny bit, and I certainly thought about it. I was watching it from home, and then I procrastinated, and it closed down here 57 points today at 38.64. But I'm glad to have the NASDAQ back on board. Now, the next thing I noticed, and I've only just observed this, I've been looking elsewhere here today, but the U.S. bonds are being hit. They're down 105, so a point in 5:30 seconds on the 30-year bond contract. Now, that's going to qualify as a downward dynamic, and I suspect that that's due to the economic news that came out today, which was showing further evidence that the U.S. economy is growing, continuing to grow. Construction spending actually came in at up 1.3%, whereas the average survey had been that it would be up 0.4, so coming in 0.9 of a point higher than expected. And then the ISM manufacturing data that came in at 62.8. I don't pay a huge amount of attention to this stuff, but it can move the market in the short term, and so I have to keep an eye on it. Then again, ISM prices paid, that's the last statistic we had, that was a little lower than generally expected. So I would have thought, if anything, that might have been favorable for the bonds, but they were probably paying more attention to the construction data. There have also been a number of stories about the increase in money supply, and I posted a report talking about the latest increases in U.S. money supply. So the Fed has certainly been pumping big time in here, and that has a number of people worrying about what does the Fed know that the rest of us don't know. Well, the answer to that is almost certainly nothing, but as I said in my comment, it's inconceivable that the Attorney General, U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft, and quite possibly the head of the Homeland Security's Tom Ridge, would have mentioned to the Fed the intelligence reports that they have indicating that Al-Qaeda is preparing or is trying to launch some sort of attack on the U.S. in the next few months. Well, hopefully that will be thwarted. But that's the sort of thing that could well cause Greenspan to err on the side of making sure that there's enough liquidity in the system rather than dragging it out. And that doesn't preclude a hike in the short-term interest rates in line with the stronger U.S. economy. And as I said, we've had preemptive action by the Fed before, not least when all that Y2K paranoia was actually taking place. So where's my net position overall? I'm still long the Asian positions, mostly in India and in Thailand, and then Japan through some pension fund positions. Although the Japanese position is much reduced, as you know, from what it was, say, at the beginning of the year. And I still have some golds, which aren't doing much for me at the moment, but I'm content to hold on to those, feeling the sector is reasonably valued. It was attractively valued, say, a month ago or 3 weeks or so ago, when the oil, when the gold price was down around the 370s region. Of course, both have subsequently bounced, but I maintain that gold is still in the accumulation zone. It's a buy on any dip, and that the gold shares, provided they don't get too far ahead of themselves, can similarly be purchased when the gold price does soften. The greater risk with the gold shares is that if Wall Street were to sell off, it would drag down mining shares as well as most other categories. Now, looking at today's action, I appreciate that I'm jumping about here a little bit, perhaps a little bit too much. I normally try to go in a more detailed fashion through stock markets. So let me just bring you up to date on that. We had mixed action in the Asian markets, nothing much going on. The European markets generally sold off. They all sold off here today. Nothing too huge. I see 1.5% for Amsterdam as being about the biggest. And Wall Street's been a bit up and a bit down. It rallied when that economic data came out at 3 o'clock, showing the stronger growth, but never got up that much. The most I saw was up 22 on the Dow. It's currently down 18. It has been down 30, and the S&P is down 3 and a bit, and the NASDAQ composite is down 9 points right now. So a little bit of selling pressure. In the bond markets, this is interesting, and I might have to short a few treasury bonds. I was hoping they'd go a bit higher or waiting for a signal, but they're certainly above where I took profits on my previous short position, and I may well let a short position out to here tonight before I go home. Now, elsewhere, the other positions, this I didn't mention in the comment, but my JGB short position is being rolled over here today. That hasn't gone through yet, but I know that it will be rolled over today, rolling my June short into September. And because the JGBs weakened late last week, that will put me into a very small profit on the expiring June contract, I believe, but I'll have those figures tomorrow. Now, related to this, I do notice that, or note that, some subscribers, and talking to people like Mark Lowry and Owen and Joanna Mutinay, who's the subscription manager, that sometimes people have said, wouldn't it be nice if David actually told us his stop levels? Well, I think you appreciate why I can't do that, because a number of people hear these audios and look at the subscribers comment, and I think the service is, well, may well be unique in the sense of telling you absolutely everything I do, when I do it, and I even try to telegraph that, and as I have with the Bonds here, saying when I'm thinking about probably doing something. And I can't give the exact stop levels, because it would just be creating targets. So, and it wouldn't be good if we all clustered our stops. And then I'm sure you can appreciate why that's the case. But anybody who's listening and who's diligent can certainly get a good idea for where they might well be. And but the more important point is that I think that I always say, you know, I never make recommendations. I never tell people what to do. Who would I be making recommendations for anyway? You know, subscribers range from hedge funds, pension funds, unit trust managers, to many savvy, internationally oriented private investors. And there are also some people who deal primarily in specific markets. Stocks would be the biggest category, where we would have people who were only dealing in one particular market, some bond specialists, some currency specialists. In other words, it's quite a broad base in terms of global interests. So in terms of any kind of portfolio or issuing recommendations, who would I be issuing them for? I've always said that I have an unbalanced portfolio, and I would not wish to ever have a balanced portfolio. I tend to go where I think the action is. So as one broker of mine a number of years ago had said, he said, well, David, your portfolio is really that of what a hedge fund might aspire to. In other words, look where the opportunities are, look where the better trends are, such as supply and elasticity this year, and go there. Now, apologies for veteran subscribers who know all that, but new subscribers are coming in all the time, and so I want to bring everybody up to scratch in terms of my own working methodology. Additionally, if you start making recommendations, well, that's a control issue, and I don't want to go there, and I think that it's not in line with the Fuller Money theme, which is empowerment through knowledge. They say, I hope to help empower you through my experience, and I know that a good number of you help to empower me through your comments and the very fine reports that are sent along, which are invariably interesting. And so we just pool the information and the knowledge. But what I also say regarding my trades is that sometimes they're well conceived, sometimes they're a bit impulsive, because I'm human. I'm not going to make any apology for that. Sometimes they're riskier than they ought to be, but fortunately they've given me a rather nice standard of living over many years, and knock wood, long may that last. But what I always say to all subscribers is, when I say I'm doing something, is you think about it first. Is it appropriate sort of thing that you'd be interested in or not? And don't even think about going there if it's not appropriate for you, although you may be interested in seeing what actually happens with it. And then also apply your own analytical overlay. I mean, criticize what I do in terms of, you know, does it make sense? Is it logical? Is it behaviorally sound? Is it technically justified? And so on. So we always, nobody should just ever track what I do because it might not be appropriate, and I think that's not in line with the empowerment through knowledge theme. We want to think about it. Think about what we do. Okay, now stops. I also moved up a couple of stops today. I'd been talking about raising my tin stop and how I was going to do it, and then I skedaddled out of here on Friday and didn't do it. It probably saved me getting stopped out, but I have jammed that up today. You look at the chart, I wouldn't want to see it and go underneath Friday's reaction low. And so I pushed that up. The backwardation there is still very large. Let me get a reading on that right now. Well, it came off the high, but at one stage, tin was up $500 in here today at 9,500. So just about offsetting. That was offsetting Friday's downward dynamic. And certainly, we won't have the final figures in here. These are not the final figures, so it may well close higher or lower than the current price of 9,350. This is LME ring traded tin, of course, but the backwardation is again very large. It's got to be in the $600 range, but again, I haven't got the final price on that yet. But I have moved up the stop. And this is a volatile area. I don't like to crowd these things, as you know. Now lead, where I've got a very loose stop, and there's a little bit of danger there. When I looked at lead today and the chart that I've posted on the site, and when I looked at also at the copper, I mean, just reminded me of how much copper has marched upwards. Just pretty much here every day over the last couple of weeks. So they're both getting up to levels where we've seen previous resistance. So I really ought to watch those carefully. I may well take some profits in here later on this week if I have a chance. Actually, I'm only going to be in the office. It's time to mention that I've got the chart seminar coming up this Thursday and Friday, where I will be holding forth in a London hotel. So it's going to be, this is a really short week here for me. So, but at any rate, if I get an opportunity tomorrow, if they're very strong, I might consider that. I should lighten some of those positions a little bit on this real strength. Now, elsewhere, palladium's down a little bit here today, but it had quite a good day on Friday. The lead's up a little bit. That's been seen a small correction here so far. Nickel, which I wish I'd bought, continues to push higher, up another $200 here today on the latest price, $12,400. So the supply inelasticity trades continue to perform, and if there's a lot of money supply sloshing around in the system, it's hardly surprising that some of the hedge funds and speculators like myself have been going back into those markets in recent weeks. One of the commodities that I've been looking at closely and talking about, wanting to keep an eye on, is orange juice. And I noticed that it closed pretty much unchanged, down a fraction on Friday, and it's a little lower in here today. So I'm finding that resistible at this stage. Continuing to watch, we'll probably miss the run when it occurs on the upside. It's that big contango. That's the premium of the futures price over the spot price that deters me. That just reflects the fact that there's an enormous amount of orange juice around. But at some point, this will be over discounted. I suspect that point's very close to hand, and that there'll be an almighty bear squeeze, which will cause it to rocket higher for a week or two. Okay, now going back to these metals, I noticed that gold has just moved down quite recently. Now it had been up, it had been doing quite well, up at $398.90. So getting very close to that $300 level, which I expect to be crossed fairly soon. But it slipped back here, currently $393.90 as I speak. The oil price is still very strong. Silver's down a little bit in here. It's gone quiet. I'd like to see the volatility pick up in that so that I could continue with my baby steps trades. As I've said before, I'll buy if it dips below, say, $6 on the September contract, and I've got sell orders above on positions that I already hold. Elsewhere, currencies, I haven't said anything about them so far today. Sterling's reasonably firm. We've got a weak yen in here today. I think that's probably oil price fears. And that's pushed the dollar back up to 110.60, but the dollar had fallen fairly sharply over the last week and a bit. And the main one was that the euro was quite firm against the dollar here this morning, got up to 122.66. Still looks like the balance of evidence still suggests to me that the dollar's rally is over and then it's going to go back down and test the year's lows. But that euro dollar has slipped back a little bit. Now it's still up at 29 cents at 122.17, but I'm not tempted by anything here in the currency markets at the moment. If euro yen got up a little bit higher, remember that's right, the last one I had where I took the profit on that long, but I might actually go in and short that possibly, or I might short the dollar against the yen if it were to edge back up a little closer to that 115 level, but no currency positions at the moment. So I'm mainly concentrating, say, on these stock market futures, which are mostly a hedge against some longs that I've still got, stock market futures shorts, and also playing these metal and energy moves. Have an excellent evening.